You are welcome again to the studio of the Beth Israel Ministries. We are in the studio session to delve into issues that are critical on the internet. Amen.
Amen.
And we have said that it will not be fair to distract our entire ministry and church services towards talking on these issues, because we all have what God has appointed for us to do as pastors. But it would also be very unfair not to participate in the current heat-up argument that is going on the internet. And I showed you in the book of the Sons of Deborah, in the book of Judges, chapter 5, how that those who maintain neutral stand when there is a warfare going on are people that are cursed. When there is a warfare of the kind that is going on, whether we like it or not, it is a warfare in the church. It is a civil war. It's just that it is war of words, war of wits, and war of knowledge. It is not a, if it was a physical war where we carry arms to go and fight, by now the government would have intervened. The government would have started making arrests. The government would have already begun to fight and close down churches. But since it is verbal wars about doctrine, the government has no hand in the matter, because it is not leading to any physical clash. Nobody is telling his member to carry arms and attack another pastor or attack other people's. It's just an opinion, viewpoint. All right? And if it is gendering hatred and strife, it is gendering hatred and strife in the hearts of the people that are hating and striving. It's not generating hatred and strife on the streets. The moment anybody takes this pulpit war personal and then enters into the streets with arms or with any way, meet another church member, say your pastor is preaching nonsense, then you will now attack that church member. Or meet a pastor and then you stone him. The moment it gets to that level, the government must step in. Arrest must be made. But as long as it remains in the verbal level, then it is intellectual and spiritual warfare. So there is a warfare going on, which if anybody keeps silent, anybody that should speak, if he keeps silent about it, all right, and does not take sides, the person will not be blessed of the Lord. The Bible says Jesus prefers those who are against him than those who are neither for him nor against him. Said he doesn't like lukewarm people. He prefers them to be either hot or cold. That means better you are not a believer than to be a lukewarm believer. Amen?
Amen.
So sitting down and watching to see how the outcome of the war will be is what Meroz did in Judges chapter 5. We don't know who is going to win the war. Whoever wins the war, we will go and bow down to him. We will go and make deal with him. Let's just let the war go on. The Bible says, cursed is such a person. Cursed is such a person. Amen.
Yeah.
So we come out to declare our own stand in this ministry towards everything that is being said, which lately has been heating up on the internet. Not as if these things are new. I have told you, from time immemorial, from Garden of Eden, anything we are discussing today has begun from there until today. And even when we are dead, our sons will rise up and do this thing that we are fighting. In the time of the apostles, there were people like Abel Davina, and there were people like me. There were people, all of these people were there. Amen?
Amen.
What we believed, opinion-wise, existed. So it's not a new thing. But every time any generation rises, where these things come, people must take time and take sides. The scripture was meant to open the eyes of everyone, not some people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when you look into the scripture, you are like a dove looking to the flowing stream. This is Jordan. This is Jordan. It's a flowing river that cleanses the soul, that cleanses our hearts, that cleanses our mind. It cleanses our eyes. It makes us to see. It shines our eyes. So each time you look at the scripture, it is shining your eye. You are seeing clearer. You are seeing better. But anybody that muddies the water wants to muddy your mind. Doctrine is dangerous. It can be muddy. It can muddy the water. And people will begin to drink muddy water, look into muddy water, and their minds will be corrupt. The scripture is a water like other water, and it can be muddied. It can be muddied by doctrine, by lies, by deceit, anything. And people can be looking into the scripture while they are being deceived. You are looking into the scripture, but you are being deceived by the same scripture. There are someone is deceiving you with the scripture, and you are looking into the scripture. That is why we must add our voice. Amen.
Amen.
In the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 15, it said, "Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or added thereto." That is to say, even if it's a man's will, even if it's a man's will that is written down, all right? If a man's will, if they confirm that the man wrote it in goodwill, in the right mind, okay, and that nobody oppressed him while writing the will, if they bring it to the man and they ask the man, "Is it in your good interest that you wrote this will?" If the man confirms with his signature, with his thumbprint, and clearly states that he is not under any duress, he's not under any oppression, that he wrote this thing from a sound mind, once he confirms it, no one can add to it or subtract it. Subtract from it. Amen.
Amen.
So the scripture from Genesis to Revelation was written with a sound mind. I have shown you last time that all scripture, not some scripture, that God has hand in all scripture was inspired by God. That's what the Bible says. Not some. So you cannot say the Bible is not the word of God because it contains the word of a madman inside. It contains the word of a devil. It contains the word of a liar. No, no, no. All scripture, whatever God permitted to be written and to be scripted, had a reason why God wrote it. God allowed it. The scripture captures everything we do in this world, good and bad, ugly, even occultism is in the scripture. In the book of Ezekiel, occultism was captured in the sense that there were some pastors, some priests, who were the leaders of the land, including with political leaders. Openly, they worshiped Jehovah in the temple. But at the basement of the temple, they went and worshiped Moloch. They worshiped Tammuz. They were occultic men, but they were the leaders of the land. And they were occultic men, but they were the priests of the land. So, occultism was captured. Everything was captured in the scripture. God allowed it to be scripted. And then God acknowledged that he wrote this scripture with a sound mind, not under duress. So now, he now sent his son to come and die. Amen. So that the scripture will be sealed forever. Meaning, you cannot alter it. He said, "Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant." That is, even if it's just a man's will, a man's covenant, a man's writing. Amen?
Amen.
"Yet if it be confirmed," the Lord Jesus confirmed the scripture with his blood. "If it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or added therein." So when you see Pastor Abel Damina thinking that there is something wrong with the scripture and he has to come and disannul or add, he doesn't know that the writer and the author of the scripture had allowed it to be so in his right senses. And then came down in the person of his son to come and confirm it with his death, with his blood. So no one can go to the scripture. It is too late. No matter how bad the scripture is, no matter how confused the scripture is, it is too late for you to say there is any part of the scripture that is not right. It's too late. It's too late for you to say it did not repent God. If it is written in one person, it repented God. And then written in another person, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Both portions has been scripted and God has confirmed it. It is too late to conflict the issue. So if a son is not happy with the will of his father, because he thinks as a firstborn, he should have gotten more than the other born, but the father decides to split everything equally. As long as it can be confirmed that the father was in his good frame of mind when he was writing that will, all right, it is too late to annul it. It is too late to annul it and to even add to it. The only thing you can do is appeal to the rest of the brothers to know you are the firstborn and show you respect by all of them giving you a percentage of all their own, so that as a senior you can have more. If they agree, they will do it. If they don't agree, they will go with their wealth. It is too late. So any man coming to say at this time that it is too late to correct the scripture, that he has been ordained to correct the scripture, just know that he is not walking by the will of God. There's no need to argue. He's not working by the will of God. Because he does not respect the will of God. He thinks there is something in the will of God that should be removed. Something that should not be removed. So you can't come now and say, you see that serpent in the garden? It wasn't really a serpent. It was a symbolic thing that Moses used to kind of tell us what lust was and blah, blah, blah. No, sir. It was written in the original will. That a serpent spoke to Eve. Eve replied, and the serpent countered what God said, which Eve replied with, and Eve believed the serpent and ate the tree. Brother, that was the written will. You cannot disannul it. You cannot use any part of the will to counter any part of the will. The will is the will. It is written and every part of it is known to the author. That this is it. The conflict of it, the troubles of it, the correctness of it, the wrongness of it, all is inside. You see, because we are too small-minded, we think we can compare our minds with God, the God who sees the end from the beginning, and nothing is hidden from him, even amoeba, even something smaller than the amoeba. Anything that can even escape microscope, telescope, cannot escape God's eyes. That you are telling me that God did not know what he was doing when he was scripting all this thing. When he was allowing all these things to be involved in the scripture, that he didn't know what he was doing. Your mind cannot compare to his mind. You cannot even begin to fathom what is going on in God's mind every day. That is why God had to tell, God didn't know how to talk to Job, that Job, listen to me, do you think I have time to come and sit down and be afflicting you? Let me show you what I do every day. Who are the people, who is the one that feeds the wild beast in the mountain? Who is the one that feeds the crocodile in the water? Who is the one that feeds the fishes? I have so much work to do, Job. You are just a minute person. For you to magnify yourself that I am on your case. Amen. Yeah. There is a mindset that we have as if we understand God. As if we have actually understood God. So if nobody understands what we understand about God, we begin to fight it. It says, that scripture you see, like I told you, that the book of Revelation, the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts to Revelation, they are not scriptures. They are not scriptures. Because Jesus had already fulfilled all scriptures before carrying the scripture and giving to the apostles and said, this is what you will go and teach. He said, other people labored. You will not labor. No, other people labored to produce the scripture. Now I send you to enter their labor of using the scripture to win souls. Yes, sir. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, sir. He said the foundation of the church is on the foundation of the apostles whom Jesus said, and the prophets whose scripture the apostles are to use as sickle to win the souls or to prove that Jesus is Lord. Amen.
Amen.
It's unfortunate that some people think that it is the prophetic ministry of the fivefold ministry of the body of Christ that Jesus is talking about, that the apostles and the prophets are the ones who set the templates for the rest of the pastors to follow. No. All the apostles, all the church is an apostolic church, and all the apostles, they didn't occupy one office. No, they were apostles, they were sent. But within the body of Christ, some of them were apostles, some of them were teachers, some of them were pastors, but they were the 12 sent ones, the 70 sent ones, the 120 sent ones who are going to tell the world about Jesus and then to teach the world what Jesus taught them. And what did Jesus teach them? From Moses to Malachi. That's what he taught them about himself. All right? So he now gave them the books to use. Use Moses to Malachi to teach the people anything that I taught you. You will find the proof of whatever I taught you in Moses to Malachi. That is how I lived my ministry. Where my power came from, where my strength came from, where my secrets of success came from, was to read this scripture and to interpret the contents of it. That is why I am the author of revelation. The interpretation of scripture is revelation. From now on, I give you the power of revelation knowledge. You will look into the scripture and my spirit will give you revelation of the things you are seeing. Then you will teach it to the people. So the revelation of life is in the scripture. The revelation of death is in the scripture. The revelation of sin is in the scripture. The revelation of righteousness is in the scripture. So with these revelations, you can teach people about life, death, sin, hell, judgment, eternal, all is inside that thing. You don't need any other book anywhere. And you don't need anybody to be your teacher. The Holy Ghost will guide you, the church, into the scriptures and show you, for he shall not speak of his own, but he shall take what is mine and show it unto you. All that the Father hath is mine. What does the Father have? The scripture. That is the will of the Father, which he confirmed with the blood of his Son. Now, all that is mine, use the scripture to explain me and explain everything concerning myself. So the scripture cannot be added to, neither can it be subtracted. Anyhow you see the scripture, you don't like it this way, leave it like that. The man wrote the will. God can never send anybody again to go and restructure the will. Because once it is confirmed, which was confirmed on the cross when it said it is finished, the scripture is finished. Once it is confirmed, no one writes a new scripture. Neither does anybody alter the content of the scripture. So God will never send any man with any message and any anointing that his duty is to come and rewrite or restructure and knock off this one, knock off that one, put this one in, put that. It can never work. We have a right, if any brother stands up to alter the will, we have the right to carry him to court. You know that?
Yes, sir.
That's the truth. If the Father has just written a will, anyone that is not satisfied with that will should go to court. And everybody has the right to challenge him in court. The judge doesn't even have a right to alter the will of another man. He only has the right to see if that will was not the original will. If that will is discovered to be a fake, then that is when it will be banned. Banished. But if that will is indeed the will, no matter how upside down it is, the only thing the judge can do is to beg the family to please try and see if they can resolve this matter within themselves so that they can at least reshare this will so that everybody, if the family agree, they go and do that. If they don't agree, leave the will the way it is. So we are a family. Therefore, Abel Damina cannot come and say the will was not properly written. I want to restructure it as who? As who? It's one family and the father has left the will. The will is already written. What are you trying to restructure? Who are you to restructure the will? Jesus himself cannot come back and restructure the will. The Holy Spirit does not speak of his own self, so he cannot even tamper with the will. Amen. Yeah. So which one of us have that power to tamper with the will? If the will doesn't look good, leave it. If the will look foolish, leave it. If the will is stupid, leave it. Do not tamper with the will, or else the rest of the family will rise up against you. And when they rise up against you, don't say you are being persecuted, because you went to tamper with will. Will is a very serious matter. It's a very serious matter. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
They are saying, Oyedepo should not do that step. Remove Adeboye Abioye, or remove the other bishop. Blah, blah, blah. You know, Oyedepo does not talk much. He brought a constitution of 19 something that was revisited in 2000 and something and 2000 and something till the permanent constitution. Now, the constitution stated clearly since then that when you are up to 70, you will retire. As at when they were writing that constitution, part of the people who wrote the constitution was Bishop Abioye. And that other bishop that is being removed. They were part of the constitution makers of the of the house. So they had agreed that when they are up to 70, they will retire. So they knew it was coming. It's not as if bishop just woke up one day and said, Bishop, I'm going to leave. This one, leave. No, they were there. And they have the copy of the constitution. They knew they will be retired. If they did not want to be retired, they would have left the ministry since and started their own. Because in that constitution, only the founder will not retire until he retires himself. But everyone else that is above this age retires. So they knew that there was that constitution. And it is clearly written. So they knew what they were doing. That is why Bishop Abioye is not angry. Those two bishops have never complained. They have never gone to the internet. They have never. They are not. Why are you angry for them? Amen. The constitution is in that place, and they were part of the people that constructed the constitution. Abioye knew when he will retire. It didn't come to him like a surprise. So mind your business. These men are not complaining, because they knew their time was drawing near. Since last year, Abioye knew that this year he will retire. He knew it. Because he has a copy of the constitution. He was a vice president of the ministry. So he has a copy of the constitution. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If Oyedepo had retired before now, Abioye will be the next in command. He will take over. If Oyedepo had left to be with the Lord before now, Abioye will take over. But inasmuch as both of them have lived to cross 70, Abioye has to retire. Amen.
Amen.
Do you understand? This is the constitution. And it is written down. It has been reviewed and reviewed and reviewed. And the people who reviewed it are the same ones that have been retired. They are not complaining. So why are people crying for them? Some people don't know how to mind their business. What is injustice there? Amen.
Amen.
So the will has been written. The will has been written. The covenant has been done. The covenant, the will, the right, the testament has been written. And it has been confirmed by the owner of the testament that this is the will of God. So nobody can come and rewrite Genesis chapter 1. I was listening to Abel Damina saying that in order to interpret the scripture or to teach the scripture well, you must live in the times that those people lived. Understand their culture. Understand their tradition. Understand their language and everything, so that you will know what was the way they meant by what they were saying. And I say, do you know the meaning of that? The implication of that? It means those people that said that if a man is born again, he must circumcise and do some Jewish rituals, that they are right. Yet Paul attacked it to say, no. You can't impose that on people. So what you are saying is that no pastor that has not learned Hebrew or Greek can actually explain the Bible. So all of us are sent to go to learn Hebrew and Greek in order for us to understand the Bible. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Meaning that Hebrew and Greek are the original tongue of the Bible. And that all the other tongues must come and learn Hebrew and Greek if they must understand and teach the Bible. And I showed you in the book of Acts of Proverbs that the original tongue of the Bible is the Holy Spirit, is the tongue of the Spirit. It's not the physical. Bible is not preached on earth. It's preached in heaven, echoed on earth. The first thing that came of the heaven was the wind of heaven. He came and everybody was speaking in tongues. The Bible says all languages of the earth heard the gospel being spoken, the great things about God in a language that is not of this world. Then one man stood up and spoke Galilean language, and the whole world heard it and understood it and gave their life to Christ. Out of the 3,000 people that gave their life to Christ, there were members of all the community of the world inside. So in one day, the whole world heard the gospel, and they carried the gospel to their various places in the world, so that the gospel can be preached in any language. Long before Paul began to go to the Gentiles, the gospel has gone to the world. So even before they start using Greek to preach the Bible, Galilean language alone, the gospel was spread all over the world. Philip did not preach to the eunuch with Greek. Hallelujah. Possibly Philip spoke Hebrew and the eunuch used an interpreter to hear, because he was an important figure and he wouldn't have traveled all the way to Jerusalem without carrying an interpreter with him, because he went on a royal business to meet with both Herod and what is his name, Pontius Pilate, and discuss governmental matters, apart from the fact that he went there also for Passover. Therefore, he must have carried interpreters. So when he climbed the chariot, he heard this guy reading the book of Isaiah. And then he said, do you understand what you are reading? He said, how can I understand if nobody tells me? He started telling him. So, is the eunuch, is he a Jew? Philip, is he an Ethiopian? They must have been how they got to know how to understand each other. Yet the gospel has no barrier, so it was preached even before Greek language was used. Nobody is sent by Jesus Christ to go and learn Hebrew or Greek in order to teach the scripture. The scripture is taught by the Holy Spirit. He said, no man teacheth you, for the Spirit that is in you teaches you all things. That means the Spirit is in the church. The Spirit came to the church and is in the church, and it teaches us the word, the scripture. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Do you understand me now?